A couple things from public reading. And one thing the Lord has always asked is that we bring our first to Him. There's a reason for that, brethren. Keeps our priorities right. Now, there is a natural tendency for us to make sure we have what we need taken care of. Boom, 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 boom. And then we have a certain amount that we got extra. And then the extra we do stuff with us. That's not the way God has this set up. God says, God first. The God who provides for us. The God who is loving and compassion, whose loving kindness lasts from generation to generation. When we put Him first, He's going to make sure we got what we need. Right off the bat, first. You look at Cain and Abel, the one thing the Scripture says, Abel brought the first. It doesn't say Cain brought the first. Abel brought the first. And I think, you know, you look at this Old Testament, and there's prescribed amounts. I don't think that's by accident either. There is a pattern, brethren, also in terms of finances, and this pattern is called the tithe. We know everything that we do is for the honor and glory of God. But before we start calculating how we're going to use the rest of that for God's honor and God's glory, He wants a tenth. Just put it right off the top. Just this. I think it's a good plan. I think we do that. Every one of us commits to doing that. I think this revolution will move forward the way God wants it to. We're going to take commitment from every one of us. And that's what the Lord wants, isn't it? For in His revolution, every person pulling their part on the team. So, encourage you to do that. All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, one other announcement. Dante mentioned this. Thanks for all those who chipped in the Philippines. I think the goal for the 2 weeks was $1,000. And at the farmer's market, they came out with $1,170. So, praise the Lord for that. And thanks to everybody who baked and who helped out down there and putting up and tearing down and selling in between and all that stuff. So one other thing I want to mention, I don't think I've mentioned this on a Lord's Day morning yet. Did I mention about Dante on a Lord's Day morning? Anyways, Dante's here. He's here until December 2nd. He actually came to the States for an opportunity to work for a few months to support the Christian school back in the Philippines, that they'd have the means to be able to keep going. And I've got a chance to spend some time with Dante since he's been here. The guy is a hard worker. He's a true servant. He gets in, does whatever it takes to get the job done. He sat in on some Bible studies with me, and this guy knows his Bible. He has great attitude. He chips in, and some of us, we've got to hear him preach a time or two also, and we'll get a few more times. He's been helping in the Christian school some, and it's amazing that the kids have been giving him good feedback. They think he knows what he's doing. So that's great. He runs a Christian school back there in the Philippines, so he does know what he's doing. But this guy, he's a great guy, and my encouragement has been, if he's been willing to come and do that, make that sacrifice for there, if we can get if whoever's willing to give one day's wages to send back with him, that would make his time here multiply. It's a little bit of a sacrifice for every one of us, but man, that really multiplies his effort. So if you're willing to do that, please see either Mikkel or me. I think Mikkel, has anybody seen you? I've had a number of guys seeing me about that. So just see me, and I'll pass it on to Mikkel. He's going to be the guy that takes care of the money so it doesn't burn a hole in my pocket. So, all right, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to the dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is accursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of ministries and the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, and to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the effecting of miracles, and to another prophecy, and to another the distinguishing of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually, just as He wills. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do praise You. I'm thankful for Your Word that it contains everything within it pertaining to life and godliness. We're thankful for the opportunity that we have to assemble together, to partake of the Lord's Supper, and to have the Word shared for us to consider the things that You have chosen to put down for us, the things that are necessary for us to understand in order for us to function effectively as Your church. Lord, I ask that You be with me today as I preach Your Word, that I'll be able to communicate clearly concerning these gifts of the Holy Spirit. I ask this all through the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. A couple quick comments. I'm not going to spend too much time on this, but there's a phrase in here. It says, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God said Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now, if you take that without any other scripture, you might say that anybody that goes around saying Jesus is Lord, they're in. But you put a couple other scriptures together, and you remember one right off the bat from Matthew chapter 7. Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter. And you do a little bit of stop and think, and let's see, the demons believe. The demons were acknowledging that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of God, wasn't he? And they weren't. The demons acknowledged that. They understood that. So there's a deeper meaning to that. And some of that we covered in the book of 1 John, the whole concept of Jesus actually coming in the flesh. The spirit of the Antichrist denies that Jesus actually was truly human. I'm not preaching on that today. But it just goes a little deeper than the service. I want to throw that out there. If you have questions about that, I'd be happy to work on that with you a little and show you some other scripture. So I think that what the Lord's driving at is a true confession with your lips and with your life. You shall know them by the fruit. And that fruit is going to be evident, the fruit of the Holy Spirit or otherwise. Okay? So that's not what I'm working on. This message already, I told you guys, won't be long today. Now, I want to make one point of clarification before I fully launch in. Long and boring are not necessarily equivalent terms. Okay? So just give you a heads up. Okay? So yeah, you need to be mentally ready. Stay with me, but we'll keep it moving and you guys stay engaged here and should go pretty well. Brother, there is lots of confusion out there regarding the Holy Spirit. I mean, lots. You got the spectrum. I know some people that go by the name Church of Christ that say the only Holy Spirit is these words on the page of this book. They deny that there's any indwelling Holy Spirit or otherwise. I don't know. We've already read through 1 Corinthians. Things like your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And talks about Him dwelling in you. Okay, there's more to it than that. There's people out there. Hey, my name's Luke, right? Luke Skywalker. People, hey, use the force, right? Okay? My dad never even let us watch those movies. He thought they were too New Age. So we never watched the Star Wars stuff. But some people think the Holy Spirit is just some sort of inanimate force that's putting pressure on. Maybe even newsboys. It's just a spirit thing, you know? And, hey, the Spirit's more than just a force. Okay? Now, there are forces out there, and they're not all Holy Spirit forces. And there are some demonic forces also. I got to pick up space here. I know this is a long message already. But there's confusion. What's the Scripture actually say about it? You get into this particular aspect I want to work on today. Well, I'm going to call it the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Maybe we could better call them the miraculous manifestations of the Spirit. There is tremendous confusion out there. Some years back, Kevin and I went to a faith healer that was traveling through town. Hey, let's go check it out. And we went and checked it out, and the guy basically preached a message that said, in simple terms, if you don't get healed tonight, it's your fault because you don't have enough faith. And then he went on, and some people came forward, and they did the pray over and hit him on the head and this kind of stuff. And the people that you could tell seriously had something wrong with them came back with something still seriously wrong with them. There's one lady in particular, cerebral palsy, and she came back and I saw her. She still had it, and the tears were just coming down her eyes. It's the way this was put out there. It was her fault. She didn't have enough faith. Now, that bothered me a little. Kevin and I had some conversations with some guys afterwards. This is back when we were still Sons of Thunder ourselves. And got a little animated, and one of these guys grabs our hands and starts praying in all sorts of tongues. Okay? Basically going to teach us how this is done. You know, you remember that, Kevin, right? So, now, one other thing. There's a guy traveling through, he actually lived here, and needed some financial help. Now, he came to assembly a few times and asked for some financial help, and we gave him a little. Well, he decided that wasn't near enough. So the check that we had written to him, he wrote back to us, he stuck it in there, and he said, this needs to come back multiplied. I kind of thought, that's an interesting way of accepting a gift. But so I thought, he went on to tell me that he was a prophet, and because he was a prophet, it was our duty to support him. And so I kind of asked him, well, how would you establish that you're a prophet? He said, well, I've been in jail, and I know a lot of people. I helped a lot of people out of jail, and they weren't any prophets. Okay? They weren't in there for being prophets. So what he decided then to prove it to me is we started speaking in tongues. Okay? To prove to me that he was a guy that we should be financially supporting. At that point in time, I called him on that, and I said, now wait a second. I said, the scripture specifically says that you don't speak in tongues unless an interpreter is present. So where's the interpreter? I said, you actually just proved to me the opposite of what you were pretending to do. So, bye-bye. Okay. Well, I bring these examples up to show you guys there is a lot of stuff floating around out there. Okay. We need to know what's the scripture say about this. Here's a couple preliminary questions. Does anyone today really have these gifts that are mentioned here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12? Now, common sense makes me say, sure doesn't seem like it. The guys that claim to be healers don't seem to be able to heal. The guys that claim to have gift of tongues, when they go and they speak in a place where they speak a different language, they still have to have someone that knows the language to interpret for him. The guys that claim to be prophets, their prophecies never come true. So common sense makes you think it sure doesn't seem like they are. And typically, brethren, common sense lines up pretty well with truth. But let's check it out from the scripture. The bottom line is, what does the Bible actually say? So when I mention this, what am I talking about? These gifts of the Spirit. These manifestations of the Spirit, I think, would be better termed. Verses 8 through 10. Word of wisdom, knowledge, faith, gifts of healing, effecting of miracles, prophecy, distinguishing of spirits, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. That's what we're talking about here. So I got three questions, actually probably four today, if we can get through this. Number one, how are the gifts given? Number two, does the scripture tell us how long they would last? Number three, what was the purpose behind these gifts? And number four, if they're not present today, why do people pretend that they have them? Those are things I want to deal with in rapid fire, as you can imagine. How are the gifts given? Let's talk about the character of God for a second. God is very consistent. Scripture says with Him, there is no variation or shifting shadow. Brother, one of the things that I personally think about when I'm working on myself being transformed, being renewed according to the likeness of God, I want to be consistent. God's consistent. You can count on Him. What He says, He's going to do every single time. Now, God has worked throughout history in different time frames. He's done things slightly differently, but His character's been the same, and He's very clear with His plan. He's moving along on a plan, and He's clear about that the whole way through. Sometimes we call them dispensations. I grew up watching the Jewel Miller film strips. My dad became a Christian by watching those, and that's how he initially started Bible studying with people. And they talked about the patriarchal age, the Mosaic age, and the Christian age. And God did work a little differently in each of those ages. We can make this pretty simple if we just, maybe it's oversimplification, but for the sake of time, we'll call Old Testament, New Testament. We have an old set of rules, an old covenant, an old will, and we've got this new will. And under the terms of this new will, God's going to do these things a certain way. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8 says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, yes, and forever. So the reason I'm bringing this up is to ask this question: under the terms of the New Testament, how were these gifts given? Go with me to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, Philip going through Samaria, a bunch of people end up believing, getting immersed, and even this guy named Simon, the magician, who previously was known as the great power of God because he's astonished them with his magic arts, even this guy ends up believing and getting immersed. And in verse 14 of Acts chapter 8, it says, "Now when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent them Peter and John, who came down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For He had not yet fallen upon any of them. They had simply been immersed in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they began laying their hands on them, and they were receiving the Holy Spirit. Now when Simon saw that the Spirit was bestowed through the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money, saying, 'Give this authority to me as well, so that everyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit.'" Recently been doing a Bible study, and a lady says, "Hey, I was reading Acts chapter 8, and she actually did her homework assignment, read through the book of Acts. She said, "What's the deal here? These guys got immersed and they didn't get the Holy Spirit." That should cause all of us to go, our minds to go, "Urch, what's going on here?" My dad gave us, me, our family, the kids, a picture version of the book of Acts, the NIV. You remember that, Matt? I remember reading that one day, and I came to this in Acts chapter 8. I don't know, I was 12, 13. And my brain went, "Urch." Went downstairs, Dad, hey, you're messed up on something. And he proceeded to give me a little Bible study where I learned a lot, okay, about the way this works. But something in reference to the Holy Spirit wasn't given through immersion, and if you notice, it was only given through the laying on of the apostles' hands. Simon saw that. Whatever this was given through the laying on of the apostles' hands. Hey, let's propose. I'm going to make a proposition here. That it was the gifts of the Spirit. And I'll tell you why I'm going to propose that. Number one, we know it can't be immersion with the Holy Spirit. That was given by Jesus Himself directly. We have an example of that. Acts chapter 2, Acts chapters 10 and 11. We'll put that together. Jesus pours that forth directly from heaven. Okay? Nothing happening with apostles doing something through the laying on of hands. It comes directly from Jesus in heaven. So that's that. Indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, this can't be talking about because we get that when we're immersed into Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. John 3, verses 3 through 5. And some information we get from Acts 18 and 19. We get, when we're, matter of fact, Larry said it, there's only one way to get started in this race, is to be immersed in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins and to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That gift's the indwelling. So let's propose that it's these gifts of the Spirit, and let's test that out. Check it out, see what we find. I don't have time to hit all these scriptures. I'm going to say them, though, and you guys can, we'll hit a couple of them. Go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1. We have some amazing examples throughout Scripture where we see that after the apostles lay hands on people, we see them performing some of these things in accordance with these gifts of the Spirit mentioned here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6, Paul tells Timothy, he says, "For this reason I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands." Paul, an apostle, had given Timothy some gift through the laying on of his hands. He's telling Timothy, fire this baby back up. Now, I'm going to let you guys check this out. In Acts chapter 6, there's a situation that's arisen. The widows are being overlooked in the daily serving of food. The apostles, it's brought to the apostles' attention. They say, guys, we don't have time to deal with this, but it's an issue that needs dealt with. So I'll tell you what. You guys choose 7 men from among you. Men, you know, who are of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. We're going to put these guys in charge of this task. And so they put forward 7 guys. The apostles then lay hands on them. 2 of these guys are named Stephen and Philip. Immediately after this, we see Stephen all of a sudden being able to perform miracles. We see Philip in Acts chapter 8, all of a sudden being able to perform miracles and healings. Wow, both of those things are gifts that are mentioned. It happens to them after the apostles lay hands on them. Okay. Acts chapter 19, we have a situation, some people have been immersed, knew nothing about the Holy Spirit. Paul comes along and says, hey, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? They said, we haven't even heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. He says, into what then were you immersed? They said, into John's immersion, and he explains some stuff, and then he has them be immersed in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then after they're immersed, he lays hands on them. And they began prophesying and speaking in tongues. 2 more of these gifts that are mentioned here. So consistently throughout the scriptures, we see examples. Apostles lay hands on people, and now they have these gifts. And that matches up perfectly with what Simon saw in Acts chapter 8. I want to say it one other way. There is no example in the New Testament of a person receiving one of these miraculous manifestations of the Spirit apart from an apostle laying hands on them. Okay. Now, secondly, and I already kind of hit this, but with Simon in Acts chapter 8, he was at first, and you got to understand the way this guy, the way this guy's mind is working. Hey, he was a magician. He'd astonished them with his magic arts. This guy is a con man. He's impressed, first of all, with Philip, isn't he? This is the real deal. Philip's actually able to truly heal people. Philip's actually able to really do some miracles. This isn't the abracadabra, sleight of hand, all the practice moves. This is legit. So Philip believes and is immersed. Simon believes and is immersed after seeing Philip in action. I want you to notice this. Philip has these gifts, but he can't pass them on. They have to call. Peter and John have to come down from Jerusalem, pray for these guys, lay their hands on them. And then we see it, and we see Simon, his mind start running wild. Before he was impressed with Philip. Now he's like, ooh, I don't just want to have the little kiosk coffee shop. I want to be the guy that franchises the little kiosk coffee shops. I don't just want one of these gifts. I want the power to be able to pass on these gifts. And you see what's going on there? So the scripture here is consistent. He sees that this power comes from the laying on of the apostles' hands. Now, what is the duration of these gifts? They put it this way. If this is true, that the only way that these gifts could be given was through the laying on of the apostles' hands, how long would we expect that these things lasted? Just a few years after the apostles died, right? And basically, what, 1 generation after the apostles is the longest these things could last. What does the scripture say about that? Does it answer this question about how long they would last? 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians 13, known as the love chapter. But the issue of love comes up because these Corinthians, surprise, surprise, all these guys with all their factions, they were misusing or abusing the gifts that they had. And so he works, you got to have the right motives, and he brings in love. But I want to pick it up, verses 8 through 13. Love never fails. Now listen, if there are gifts of prophecy, that was one of those, wasn't it? They will be done away. If there are tongues, that was one of those gifts, they will cease. If there is knowledge, that was one of those special gifts, it will be done away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will be done away. When I was a child, I used to speak as a child, think as a child, reason as a child. When I became a man, I did away with childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know fully, just as I also have been fully known. But now abide faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. I want you to notice a few things with me. The gifts of prophecy, tongues, and knowledge are called the partial. He calls these things the things that we do in part. And he says, when the perfect comes, the partial will be done away. These things were going to cease. There was a time coming when the perfect comes. Second, the perfect is something, not someone. In the Greek, it's tauteleon. Something, not someone. We also can back up what this perfect is. James chapter 1. I'm going to give these. If anybody needs these scriptures, you see me afterwards. James chapter 1, verses 21 through 25. Okay. Going to lay out some things about the Word. Okay. And at the end of that, in verse 25, it's going to talk about the perfect law. The law of liberty. Okay. Was the Old Testament the law of liberty? No. Okay. The New Testament, though, is called the law of liberty, isn't it? James calls it there in James 1. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, there's a contrast between this ministry of death, this ministry of condemnation, Old Testament, and the New Testament, which is the ministry of the Spirit. And he goes on and says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is
freedom.
There's liberty. Okay? This is the perfect law, the law of liberty, the New Testament. So this perfect thing is the completed New Testament. The mirror is also mentioned in James chapter 1, 2 Corinthians 3. It's spoken of as the New Testament. You're going to need to read James 1 to get my point on that one. Okay. Another thing, Paul compares the gifts here in 1 Corinthians 13. He brings up in verse 11, when I was a child, I used to speak as a child, think as a child, reason as a child. When I became a man, I did away with childish things. The church needing these gifts, he compares to something that a child would need. Now, we know this. When our kids are first born and they're feeding from mom, and then when they start eating some other stuff, they got sippy cups and high chairs and all that kind of stuff. They need those things, don't they? But as they grow older, I mean, if Matthew was still asking for a sippy cup, I'd be worried. Julie would be even more worried if I still was. Okay? She has to take care of me a lot. And she doesn't need to be having to put everything in sippy cups. Okay? There's certain things we need as children that when you grow up, you don't need them anymore. The point is, of this passage, is these gifts were needed in the early church before the completion of the New Testament. They were necessary to fill the gaps. I'll explain why in a second. But when this New Testament was completed and circulation, the church wasn't going to need those things anymore. And then something else I want you to notice. Verse 13, but now abide or remains faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. There are a lot of people out there that try to make the perfect in reference to Jesus' second coming. But I want you to notice there is a contrast here. There are things that cease. These particular gifts of the Holy Spirit, they cease. There are things that remain. Some of the things that remain. Faith, hope, love. Let me ask you, when Jesus comes again, is faith going to remain? Faith becomes sight. Is hope going to remain when Jesus comes again? No. Romans chapter 8. Hey, in hope we've been saved. But, I'm not going to get that quite right, but basically is, if it's a done deal, there's no more hope. That's my very loose paraphrase of that, okay? This is clearly talking about something ceases and other things remain. Okay? Which makes it, even though we have this completed Word of God, do we still have faith? Yes. Do we still need hope? Yes. Okay? So it makes perfect sense. Everything's lining up. What's the purpose of these gifts? Around the purpose of these gifts, twofold. First is to confirm the word spoken. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews 2, verses 2 through 4. For if the word spoken through angels, that's talking about the Old Testament, proved unalterable, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? After it was at the first spoken to the Lord, now listen to this, it was confirmed to us by those who heard, God also bearing witness with them, both by signs and wonders and by various miracles and by gifts of the Holy Spirit according to His own will. See the purpose here? God is bearing witness. He is confirming that the words that were being spoken by those guys was true. Same points made. Acts chapter 14. Let's go to Mark chapter 16. Same points made here. Sometime you guys are out sharing the good news and you bring up Mark 16 to show the topic of, or the importance of immersion. Let's pick it up in verse 16. Mark 16, 16. He who has believed and is immersed shall be saved. By the way, what order does that come in? Just got to throw this in for free. Okay. JP and I, we saw a bulletin from a church here a year or so ago. Now, on one side of the page, they quoted Mark 16, 16. On the other side of the page says, for those of you who have been saved, who want to get baptized, do... Now, wait a second. Mark 16 says, he who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved. It doesn't say who believed and has been saved shall be baptized. I mean, sometimes we've got to slow stuff down and read it for what it says. Okay? But he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. And then it goes on and says, these signs will accompany those who have believed. In my name they will cast out demons, they will speak with new tongues, they'll pick up serpents, if they drink any deadly poison, shall not hurt them, they will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. So then when the Lord Jesus spoke to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. Now listen, they went out and preached everywhere while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the word by the signs that followed. Same point. We get some of these same signs that are accompanying them, and the purpose was to confirm that the word they were speaking was true. So that's the main thing. Confirm the word spoken. The second would be for the establishment of the church and the absence of this completed New Testament. Romans chapter 1. Paul wanted to get to Rome so he could impart some spiritual gift to them that they could be established. Now, you say, what are you talking about, Luke? I want you to think with me for just a second. Let's go back to Samaria in our mind. Philip rolls through. He preaches. And he performs all these signs, gets the people together, he preaches, they believe, they get immersed. Philip's rolling right back on out. You follow that, Acts chapter 8. He moves on from there. Matter of fact, after that, he runs across the Ethiopian eunuch and he ends up at Caesarea. Now, knowing what you know about human nature, who was in charge in that town before Philip got there? A guy named Simon the Magician had been wowing these guys with his magic arts. Now, Simon gets immersed. Let's just do a little hypothetical, for instance. Philip rolls out of town. Who do you think they're going to be in charge in that church pretty soon? My guess would be Simon wowed him before. He'll be able to wow him again. Now, his heart isn't right, as evidenced. This comes out. But think about this. Now you got gifts of the Spirit. They didn't have a Bible to check it. Simon could say stuff, and they couldn't say, "Now wait, you show me book, chapter, and verse." That's what I want you guys to do to me, or any other smooth talker that might come along. Hey, you show me book, chapter, and verse, right? They couldn't do that. They didn't have book, chapter, and verse. So what are they going to do? Hey, well, what if you got a guy with a gift of knowledge? What if you got a guy with a gift of wisdom? How about this one? What if you got a guy with the discerning of spirits? Think he could point Simon out? Do you see? Apart from the completed scriptures, this was necessary. This was the sippy cup that they needed to be able to grow, to be able to get the stuff that they needed to move forwards. Those gifts, brother, you check it out. I'm happy to give anybody all these verses. They were only given through the laying on of the apostles' hands. Scripture's clear. They were only going to last until that completed New Testament. And their purpose was to confirm the word spoken. We don't need to roll into town and do a bunch of miracles. We open up the book and we say, let's prove that this thing is the word of God. And with Old and New Testament, we can do that. And you know what? That sticks with you a lot longer than a miracle that you saw one day that later on you wonder, now, how'd that really happen? You can go back and you can check it out again and again. Yes, this is true. So, we got something better. Now, if that's the case, why would some people pretend that they got these? I got a friend who grew up in a church. They could do all this sort of stuff. And he never could. Bothered him. How come I can't do this? Thought he wasn't one of the frozen chosen, I guess. I know a young lady. She's not here this morning. She usually assembles with us. This young lady would tell you she grew up in a church like this, and she did it, but she didn't do it. She pretended like she could. She never had anything. She'll tell you that. Why? Why has this happened? Simply put, let's put this into two groups. There are those who are deceiving. There are people that flat out know the truth. And it's a part of the show. When those faith healers come to town and they don't charge anything for it, boy, there is a lot of talk about throwing money in the offering box, though, so you get blessed more. I've been to a few of them. Every time. I haven't been to one yet. That isn't a big push. The more you put in, guys, the more your faith, the more it shows you what you're going to get blessed here. Okay? And so there are those that are deceiving. And then there are those that are just being deceived. Our mind's an amazing thing. You watch a scary movie, and you go to bed, you're going to have nightmares. You want your kids to quit having nightmares? Quit having them watch scary movies. It'll help. Okay? Might not take them all away. Depends on what you're like. But anyways, throw that in for free. But, you know, there are deceivers. There are these movies, and I can't endorse either one of them. One of them, I can't remember the name, speaking of movies. When I was in college, there was some movie floating around called Fletch Lives or something with Chevy Chase. Jeff knows what I'm talking about. And this whole faith healing thing was the biggest scam you ever saw. Okay? And then there was one with a guy named Steve Martin in it, and I can't remember what it was called. Same sort of deal. And it bothered me because it made all of Christianity, kind of threw it all together and ran it down. But because there were obvious con artists. There are those that are deceiving. And then there are those that are being deceived. Like I said, that mind can do amazing things. So the scripture would actually talk about people basing things on visions they've seen inflated without cause by their fleshly mind. I have a sister that has got her degree in linguistics, her master's, and I think she might go on and get her PhD. This girl can pick up languages like you wouldn't believe. But I remember, even as a little girl, she and her friends, they'd pull the Pig Latin and the Double Dutch and all the other stuff and have their own talk. Your mind's amazing. You want to teach it to start speaking gibberish? You can get pretty good at gibberish pretty fast. A lot of people that think, if I don't, and I actually went to this training for a Christian school, and I had a couple ladies tell me, because I couldn't do this, because I couldn't speak in tongues, I didn't have the Holy Spirit. So I needed to be able to speak in tongues to prove that I had the Holy Spirit. So what are you going to do? Well, a lot of people, what they're going to do is they're going to find a way to speak in tongues to prove they got the Holy Spirit. You know what I call that? The Emperor's New Clothes. This story, read when I was a kid. A guy comes through. There's a couple guys, a couple con men come through town. And these guys, they can whip up the best clothes you ever seen. And they set up their stuff and they sell it. They pitch it to the whoever's in charge for the king. And this king's paying these guys big bucks to have the best clothes. But here's the catch. These clothes are so amazing that only the wisest people can see them. So king pays money. Halfway along, or ways into this thing, he sends his minister of state down there, check on, see how it's going. The guy gets down there and they're showing him all the details, and this guy can't see anything. But he's afraid, if he goes back and tells the king that he can't see anything, he's not wise enough to have his position in the kingdom. So he goes back and he gives the same glowing report about that they're selling to him. A little bit later, king sends another guy. This guy doesn't see anything, but the guy before him did. He's not about to admit he can't. Finally, the day comes for the big parade. The king comes down. They're dressing him in it. They're putting him on, and the king can't see anything. But he's not about to admit he can't see anything, because his other two guys, they should be king then. Not him. So he puts him on. Goes out down the parade. And finally, a little kid sitting in the front row says, "Hey, look, the king's in his underwear." And then everybody gets it. Sometimes, guys, we got to say, "Hey, the king's in his underwear. This is not legitimate from the scriptures." We got to call it out. We got to say what it is. And some of us, maybe we've grown up in that sort of background, but if we're honest about what's going on here, it's not gift of the Holy Spirit. If it was, the healers could come through and they could heal. If it was, the speaking another language, they'd be able to do it. If it was, the prophets could actually foretell what's coming and get it right. These gifts aren't present here anymore. They don't need to be. We got what we need to stand on. Let's stand. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do praise you. We thank you that you are our God. We're appreciative for the scriptures, that you do nail everything down, that we can search it out, we can check it out, we can hit it from all different angles. Father, we find that these pieces of the puzzle fit into place perfectly. We're so thankful for everything that you've done, that the Holy Spirit in you given to us, he's every bit as powerful as he was. Just these manifestations aren't made in that realm. They're made in terms of changing our character, giving us the power to raise people from the dead spiritually, to heal those that are lame spiritually. We know that that's where the real important thing is, as was pointed out in the opening this morning. It's the inside stuff that really counts. Father, help us to rely upon you, rely upon the Holy Spirit, to choose to be governed by your Spirit, to walk by your Spirit. We carry out then the desire of the Spirit, and we show the fruit of your Spirit in our lives. Lord, be with us today, the rest of this week, that we would be a mighty army marching forth for you. We ask this all through Jesus' name. Amen. I have decided to follow.